It's Here and Now. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and there has been a lot of talk about babies this week. Well, one baby in particular. But did you hear the one about the one-year-old in Oregon who bought her father a car on eBay? Earlier this month, Portland resident Paul Stout got the surprise of his life when he got an email announcing his winning $225 bid on a 1962 car. Paul soon realized that his daughter, one-year-old Sorella, who loves to play with his smartphone, had gotten into the eBay app, and with just a few taps, she made the purchase. Here's what Paul told Portland TV station KPTV Fox 12.
I'd been looking at cars with a friend of mine, just like, oh, it would be cool if we could, you know, have this car, this Porsche would be fun, you know, that kind of stuff. And luckily, she didn't buy the $38,000 Porsche. She got the $200, right?
Luckily. Well, the seller offered to void Sorella's bid, but the Stouts went through with the purchase, maybe a future present for the enterprising Sorella, and they have added password protection to their phones. So with that in mind, listen to the subject of a new fiction book called The Short Seller. It's about a 12-year-old whose father gives her his password to access his stock trading account and make a trade for him. The author is Alyssa Brent Weissman. She writes about the astonishment from Lindy, that's the daughter, that money can be made so quickly.
We made almost $1,000, she thought. If she made 20 bucks babysitting in one night, and she babysat four nights a month, and she got a cookie instead of a cupcake after school to save 50 cents, and she helped her neighbor rake leaves, all of that meant she could make about $100 in a month. If she did all of that for 10 months, and she didn't spend a single penny of it, only then would she have saved $1,000. That was nearly impossible. And here she was, making almost $1,000 in a couple of days. Her brain felt like it was fizzing.
Alyssa Brent Weissman reading from her new book, The Short Seller. And Alyssa joins us now from WYPR in Baltimore to talk about the book. Alyssa, welcome.
Thanks so much.
So I have to say, looking at this book, reading this book made me think, don't try this at home. How did the idea of exploring the stock market through the eyes of a 12-year-old first occur to you?
Well, I almost got close to trying this at home myself. A few years ago, I was home and my husband called me from work and asked if I could make a trade in our online stock portfolio. Because the site was blocked at his office. I didn't even know that we had an online stock portfolio. And he told me how to log in. And while I was there, I pressed the refresh button on the browser and the price of the stock changed by a few cents. And then I pressed refresh again and the price changed again by a few cents. And I knew that stock prices went up and down throughout the day, but I had no idea that they changed so quickly, like every second. And I thought to myself, you know, if I bought 1,000 shares right now and I sold them in 10 seconds, I could make tons of money. And just given, you know, the way that my mind works, I thought anybody could do this and a kid could do this. And that's where the idea for the book came from.
But you don't think that's a good idea, or do
you? No, not necessarily. I mean, I think that, you know, Lindy in the book gets $100 from her parents and access to the trading account that she can buy and sell as she sees fit. And I think that that could be a good idea for kids for sure. And whether they want to invest a little bit and watch it grow over the long term, or they want to, you know, get into that high stakes world of day trading and they're trading with that $100 or $200, I think that that's fine. It's only when Lindy starts trading with her parents' money that things get really tricky. And I definitely don't recommend that to anyone.
The other issue that your book brings up for me is the issue of trust between the parent and the child. And there is a lot of trust here. Her father gives Lindy the password to his account, lets her make a trade for him, and then later gives her some money to do the trading on her own. What does your book say about trust, do you think?
You know, some people also, since the book has been out, have said to me that they think it's totally crazy that her dad gives her the password to his online account. And that, strangely enough, perhaps never even occurred to me while I was writing the book, because I think that my dad would have given me the password to his online trading account. You know, he trusted me unconditionally, and I was a very good kid. And I think that Lindy is a pretty good kid, too, who ends up, you know, doing some not so good things. And I hope that people don't take away that we shouldn't trust one another. We shouldn't trust our family members. We shouldn't trust our kids. Although maybe we do need to be very careful about what everybody is doing online.
One of the things that is so believable in this is the idea that Lindy, the main character, starts to neglect her friends to do this online trading. And it doesn't have to be online trading, but I can certainly see young girls or young boys, for that matter, neglecting their friends for their computer or their mobile device or their tablet or whatever. I mean, that is something we all see all the time.
Yes, and not even young people, right? I mean, you see parents pushing strollers while they're talking on their phones, or yeah, families out to dinner, or grown adults, you know, are out with each other, but really not out with each other because they're just on their mobile devices.
What about that? I mean, do you think that's a part of this story?
I think that it is to some degree, although Lindy happens to get involved in, you know, in day trading, but it could that really could be a stand-in for anything. I think that in seventh grade, which is the grade that she's in, friendships are really changing a lot and shifting, and kids get into one thing and their friends aren't into that, and people drift apart and come back together and find new friends. And I think that is something that goes on with everybody, and that's something that goes on with her, and it's sort of heightened because of the story and because of her, what her new hobby becomes. It takes on that, you know, technological Wall Street bent, but it really could be anything.
What do you want to teach people with this?
I'm not really out to teach anything, and I just hope that people, you know, read this story and enjoy it and laugh in the right places. But I think that if it does, you know, get some girls maybe interested in math, that would be great. Mm. Lindy, in the beginning of the book, considers herself to be really dense at math, and
yeah,
she's being moved down from the advanced class into the regular class. And then once math has, once she can see the way that it works in the real world, she becomes, you know, sort of the stock trading whiz, using all of the graphs and all of the mathematical data, and she sees how important it is. I think that would be great if it gets some girls interested in, you know, thinking that finance is something that they could do. I think that would be great. And then I think, too, that in not just thinking about the way Lindy is doing her stock trading online, but sort of maybe opening up a discussion about the way that we all behave online on a computer instead of in real life. You know, Lindy takes these outrageous risks because the money just is numbers on a screen. And I think that doesn't only apply to money, but to, you know, the things people say online, and certainly the issues that we hear about a lot today with teenagers and cyberbullying and things like that. I mean, the way that we're willing to do things online that we're not necessarily willing to do in person.
In a very short time in this book, Lindy is making some very sophisticated moves with her stocks. She sells shorts. She's covering margins. How hard was it to sort of put these things into language that kids can understand?
I think in some ways it was easier because I don't fully understand them myself. And I figured that I only really needed to have the understanding that a 12-year-old would have. If anything, I'm very pleased if it comes across as Lindy having more knowledge and understanding than I do. If perhaps I came from the financial world and had worked on Wall Street myself, in some ways maybe it would have been harder because I would have had this knowledge that I was trying to get across to young readers. But I was learning this along with her for the most part. And so in that respect, I hope that I learned it correctly, and I think that I was able to communicate it at a basic level.
You have a couple of kids. Would you ever let them trade stocks at Lindy's age, 12 years old?
I don't know. My kids are really young. They're 2.5 and 7 months. So luckily, I don't need to think about that just yet. But if that were something that they were interested in and it were in a very controlled situation, you know, if I were to set up the account, I would probably have a different password than the account with all of my and my husband's money. But I think that it's a perfectly legitimate hobby and something that certainly, you know, is educational and can be fun and risky in a good way as long as it's contained. Sure.
Well, Alyssa Brent Weissman, author of the new book, The Short Seller, which is truly about a short seller, 12 years old. Alyssa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, I'm wondering what parents think about that.
Yeah,
that idea.
Really.
Let us know, hereandnow.org.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Chipotle Mexican Grill, committed to the respect of animals, farmers, and the environment. Local sourcing and menu information at chipotle.com.